Now, live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Tony, I don't know if this is a flashback scenario. I have not been drinking. I'm looking around. This does not appear to be Everbank Field.
No, it does not.
This does not appear to be Everbank Field. The cozy confines of the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios down at Everbank, where we had a blockbuster day yesterday, but today we're not quite to the 17th island hole. We're as close as artificial devices would allow us to be.
Well, we go from the little 17 to the big 17 over the course of the first 2 days of the tournament here, as we're over by the Mach 17 green over here at the Stadium Village today for the broadcast. I think the station's going to be broadcasting from here throughout the rest of the morning and into the afternoon. Tomorrow, of course, we get that setup that we've been talking about the last couple of years. Up above the 17th green over
hovering
there. It's unbelievable. You actually have to lower your voice on the broadcast.
A little bit, right? When they approach the
when they're actually hitting shot.
Those shots. These guys, we don't care. They're hitting 30-yard line drives.
The
into
pink
this,
shirt parade let me down.
What is going on with the pink shirts over there? Now, it is pink out day at the Players on Sunday.
Yes, Mother's Day, yeah.
You know, not today, but that's okay. Wear your pink if you want to. They have the replica island green setup, and it really is a replica because it's got the same contour to the green. It's even got that little nasty pot bunker sitting in there that I played out of just once. But you know what? Sometimes playing out of there, better than the alternative, right? Going for a swim where apparently, I think it was yesterday, we were told somebody did go for a swim here.
They hit
at
the hole
replica.
In one.
Well, I mean, what is this, like a 30-yard shot?
Something around
A 30-yard pitch, chip, whatever you want to call it, pitch shot, right? Terrible distance for me. Terrible distance for a lot of golfers.
With the roof on this place, you really probably can't even hit it the way you'd like to.
No,
you
want to flop it up high in the air and let that thing come straight down if you can. And it's more of that little 45-degree angle shot, if that, and try to get it to stick. Somebody just put it up there with a little gusto, a little backspin, and stuck it to about 5 feet. But apparently somebody aced it yesterday. Is this the Sunday pin location? It's a little more.
I think it is.
It is kind of the Sunday pin, right, where they tuck it in
it's
the back corner.
It's over on that side.
It, actually, though, the green is at the wrong angle, right? Because wouldn't this be, you'd be coming in, the bunker would be on your far right, and that Sunday pin's the back right. So we, where we're sitting, are facing the front of the green. The players are hitting almost from the side. Isn't that right?
I don't think so.
I think so. I think so, Tony Smith.
I don't think so.
I think so. You do not hit. When you stand on the tee, watch the tournament, Tony. Maybe check out the tournament. I hear it's on TV every year. All right. When you are on 17, you do not tee off and hit it straight over that little bunker unless you're hitting to the back pin. But you don't have the little bunker's not at the front. It's on the right side. Right? I think this is cockeyed is what it is. But anyway, somebody made an ace yesterday.
They did.
And they promptly dove in the water, which I thought,
well, they probably could have gotten seriously hurt based on just the guy who's out here. Yeah, the guy who's out here shagging balls that are getting hit in the water constantly. There's not much to it, and I'm not sure if the guy who dove in was aware and just went headfirst into the bottom.
Well,
of this
that would be a bad situation,
right?
Certainly. Look, I understand why they don't want people jumping in there, but how many people are acing this little shot right here, right? So if you ace it, I figure if you're willing to wear the wet clothes the rest of the day,
right?
Then let it, you know, go forth and be with God. But apparently they escorted them off the premises. So there you have it. Cameron Tringali and who? Merritt, top of the leaderboard right now. Troy Merritt, both 3 under par. At least the latest leaderboard update that we've got. Jaguars today on the ball with you here out at the Players Championship. And we'll mix in a little golf talk today. It's kind of hard not to. It'd be like being at half court at an NBA playoff game and ignoring the action going on in front of you, of course.
But it'll be a lot of football today.
Oh, it's always a lot of football on Jaguars Day. Tony, one of the first rules your parents teach you when you're a kid?
Well, the way that I remember it, and it's because this comes up a lot in sports with people over, you know, when you're learning how to play the game and you try to do it the right way, you try to learn to do things the fair way. One of the first rules that you're taught is, you know, when everyone else is jumping off the bridge, it doesn't mean that you have to, too.
You don't have to follow them, right?
Right. It's do the right thing as opposed to what everyone else is doing. That's what your parents try to raise you to do.
I, you know, as a parent now for,
stand above
for the last 10 years, and, you know, there's certain things I try not to do. I try not to say because I said so, right?
Right.
Because that is the worst. I hated that as a kid growing up, and I'll say it to my soccer team because they're not my kids. Why?
Right.
Because I said so.
Because I said so, and I'm an adult.
So.
I know a little bit more than you.
It's the greatest adult power that exists because I said so. But you know, one thing I tell my son is you're going to get in a lot more trouble over something if you lie about it, right? If you did something wrong, I'm not going to be happy with you, but I will give you extra credit. I'll give you a lighter sentence. I might not even punish you if you're honest with me, Tony. Honesty is the best policy. Mm-hmm. That's what we teach our kids, right? Don't lie. Oh, look, we've all been guilty of lying at various times in our life. But
sure.
Not squeaky clean image, Mr. All-American, who's got everything in the world. They don't need to lie, right?
I've even been guilty of the I lied and then I lied and lied and lied some more to try to cover up the lie.
Oh, I've done that.
And it got to a point where you're, I don't even remember what lies I've told about the original lie, and now I'm just stuck in this deep, dark cave.
There's no way out of it.
There is that
degree. Your parents are not going to send you away, right? They're not going to do, you know, they have the authority over you up until a certain point. After that, you know, it depends. If you get called in to the police and they're grilling you, you don't want to lie to the police. Obviously, if you committed a crime, maybe that's, you feel, your best alternative, because they're not going to say, hey, we appreciate the honesty, go on your way.
Lawyer up,
Tony. Apparently Tom Brady took that advice.
Right.
He's been watching the first 48.
That's right.
We'll get into that. Tom Brady lawyered up for a little friendly conversation with Ted Wells and company over Deflategate.
And, look, I heard some just such vast misrepresentations of what was actually in the Ted Wells report yesterday from people who were just getting like the basic outline of what was asked of Tom Brady, and said that they were trying to be all invasive and they were just going to take his phone and computer and he's not going to give them all that private information, as if that's a defense for Tom Brady. And when you hear that, it's like, well, yeah, he shouldn't have to do that, right? Like, he shouldn't have to hand over every personal item that he has.
Except for the Giselle photos.
Right, but if they wanted those too. But that's not what the Ted Wells investigation asked. They said, look, your lawyer can sit there and tell us we can't look at this, we can't look at that. We just want whatever's pertinent to our ridiculous investigation of deflated footballs. And Tom Brady said no.
Yes, we'll get into that a little bit today. In fact, that is our Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight question of the day. It's quite a mouthful coming out that way, but nevertheless, I think you get the point. What discipline, if any, should Tom Brady face from the NFL due to the Wells report? Now, if you are completely ignorant of the Wells report, well, we'll try to explain a little bit without belaboring it too much coming up here in a minute, what's all entailed in that. Everyone, I would assume, who's an NFL fan remembers the Deflategate controversy with the Indianapolis Colts game in the AFC Championship game and all that entailed. And this investigation went on seemingly forever, at least in sports terms, right? Well, I guess they're not going to lose out on any late-round draft picks, which they might want to spend on a long snapper this year who may not play because of a military commitment. I mean, honestly, I guess that's what happens. When you win the Super Bowl and you win it, okay, you know what? There's pretty much your bulletproof. Go draft a long snapper in the fifth round who may have to serve a military commitment to the Navy, and salute him if he is going to serve his military commitment. But regardless, if many other teams had made that draft pick that the Patriots did, oh, they're the biggest idiots in the world, but I guess it's a genius move because Belichick did it. So we'll get into that whole scenario a little bit today. Yesterday was a banner day. We had Dave Caldwell and Fred Taylor on, among others, others being Alfie Crow, not to leave Alfie out of the mix there. But Freddie T, I thought, was outstanding, on point, had a lot of good things to say, both about Dante Fowler, who his son is very close with, and about T.J. Yeldon from a running back's perspective, and just rookies in general. We'll let you hear some of those thoughts coming up a little bit later on if you missed them yesterday, and a few key moments with Dave Caldwell as well. We'll take your calls today if you're so inclined. You want to talk a little Jaguar football? You want to talk Deflategate? The Wells report is out, and it doesn't look good for Tom Brady. He could be, according to Pro Football Talk. Now, this is their opinion, but he says, they say it seems unavoidable that Brady will be able to get away without getting suspended.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't think it's going to be more than a game, but think about that, Tony. That is the season opener, Thursday night spectacle game. They're not going to delay it. If you're going to suspend him, it's got to be for that game. If you're going to suspend him for one game, you can't pick and choose the game. You got to do the very next game that's coming up. You already have Le'Veon Bell suspended for the first three games. I mean, star power, not quite what it could be. I got to check the Patriots' depth chart right now, Tony. Who's the kid that they drafted last year in the second round? You know who I'm talking about.
I do. It was the one out of, like, Eastern
yes.
Illinois.
Yes, I can't even think of his name right, now. But that's
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, thank you very much. That's who we're going to get very very familiar with, perhaps, over the course of training camp leading up to. We'll see how that whole situation. My gut tells me Tom Brady is not missing any games. But there's the aspect where the NFL kind of let this thing play out when they were forewarned that the Patriots may be in on it. So we'll get to all that coming up. 641-1010, the number if you want to weigh in the fan feedback spotlight today, at MD. _1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler on Twitter. And, of course, you can always post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Still have Tringali and Merritt atop the leaderboard. You concur with me at this moment?
I got Tringali at 4-under through 11. I got Freddie Jacobson.
Jacobson.
Troy Merritt, Rory Sabatini, Scott Piercy, a big old group there at 3-under.
Now, what leaderboard? Are you on PGAtour.com?
I am.
You're bothering me now because we're on the same Wi-Fi. I'm on PGAtour.com, and I got Tringali, Jacobson, and Merritt all at 3-under par, and you're a hole ahead of me for some reason. You're always ahead of me, Tony. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm just going to rely on you, I guess, for the leaderboard updates. I went with Sergio. Do you have a pick, by the way?
I did not make a pick. I
almost went with Billy Ho, Billy Horschel. But I'm not a fan of the college he attended. So I ended up going with Sergio, who's got a decent track record here, obviously a former champion. And the key, I hadn't used him yet in my fantasy league. So
sure.
I plugged Sergio in.
I tell you, Mike, you don't need me for updates today because I think Jacko's got him from the media side.
That's true. And we'll go out there right now. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at the Players, our home away from home, Right, our home away from home is EverBank, and this is our home away from home away from home. Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters, and Jack O'Brien in the Media Center. Let's get a Players Championship update right now on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I like them at the way that I like them, which is at 12.5. I mean, to me, that's a perfect grip for the football. So, I mean, I think that particular term, you know, deflated or inflated, whatever norm you're using, you could probably use. I would never do anything outside of the rules of play. I would never, you know, have someone do something that I thought was outside of the rules.
If the Wells investigation is not able to definitively determine that our organization tampered with the air pressure in the footballs, I would expect and hope that the league would apologize to our entire team, and in particular Coach Belichick and Tom Brady, for what they have had to endure this past week.
What they've had to endure.
For a week.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Hey, Robert Kraft, ain't no apology coming. You know why it's not ironclad definitive, Tony? Because they refused to cooperate like Robert Kraft said they would.
Right.
Tom Brady, I'm not going to lawyer it up. I'm not giving you my emails to these guys, which, by the way, I had no contact, no electronic communications with these equipment guys for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, the day after the game, 25 minutes on the phone, another day on the phone, text after text after text. You okay? You going to be okay? Calm down. It's going to be all right. All of a sudden, he's getting invited, the equipment guy, who Brady doesn't know, is getting invited to the quarterback's meeting room. He's never been there in 20 years working with the team. He's never been in that room, Tony. It's just a little beyond believability. And Tom Brady, if this were a civil trial, just name the figure because they'd be writing it. Now, in a court of law, could they throw him, put him in jail and throw away the key? Probably not. But any common sense reading, and you read it. You read how many pages of the Wells report yesterday?
I probably read 80, 85 pages.
85 pages, which I guarantee you right now is more than I will read. But I've read the parsed highlights on all the major sites out there.
Well, it got real repetitive.
I'm sure it did.
It's the same text messages over and over and over again.
I'm sure it did. But in reading that, your conclusion is what?
My conclusion is that the Patriots, I don't know necessarily under the direction of Tom Brady, but with the knowledge of Tom Brady, that there were a couple equipment guys that were deflating footballs and have been for a while for Tom Brady. And the fact that he was so upset after that Jets game about the inflation of those footballs is damning to me in a lot of ways, because he specifically got mad at the equipment guy for not getting the footballs ready
to the right pressure,
the right
that he
way,
likes.
Right? And so the other guy checks him and he's like, yeah, they were at 16. It was really, really overinflated for what Tom likes. And it's the fact that they tested the Colts balls too. It's that the Patriots balls had deflated, you know, a full pound of PSI, basically more than the Colts balls had throughout the course of the game. The guy took him into a bathroom and he deflated him to a point where he thought it would give Tom the advantage that he wanted in that game. And that they were willing to do it in that game, in an AFC championship game, means that they were probably willing to do it before. And that's based also on the fact that Tom was so upset about the balls not being handled the right way before that Jets game. Now, can they definitively prove that Tom Brady did that? No, they can't. But there's enough connective tissue that when you read it from the outside looking in, there's enough there that it's reasonable to assume that Tom Brady knew and that these guys were doing it because Tom Brady likes the football a specific way.
In fact, the conclusion wasn't that it was possible, but that it was probable
right.
that Tom Brady was involved in this. By the way, the NFL doesn't need definitive proof, Tony.
No.
Greg Hardy, is he under any duress from the law? Did he get cleared by the law? Is he convicted of anything?
Officially no. Officially cleared by the law.
Officially, or at least officially not prosecuted yeah. because the case got dropped, right? But the NFL said, no. We investigated it, and we believe you did this. So it doesn't matter what the legal standard is out there. The question is, what are they willing to do to the Patriots, to the premier organization, what's been the premier organization in football? They've won 4 Super Bowls in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. Are they willing to suspend him, or are they going to fine him? Are they going to suspend him and have this whole thing in the spotlight on the season opener on Thursday night when they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers to open the season up in Foxborough? That's the big question, whether they're willing to do it or not. Brady's agent says, oh, this is all a sting operation. They should have, when the Colts informed them of their concerns with the footballs, they should have informed the Patriots. Otherwise, they're just trying to catch them. Here's the informing.
Oh, really? Just trying to catch them.
Here's where the informing comes in. The rule book.
That's, right.
The rule book informs you what you're allowed to do.
Right.
Okay? I shouldn't have to inform you. Don't break the rules
right.
every week.
We're
okay?
aware that you've probably been cheating for a while now. Don't do it this week.
Right. Don't do it this week because then we won't catch you and we can go on pretending like it's never happened before. So I'll give the league credit for that, that they said, let's see it play out. And because the only way you're going to know is not to tip them off. If you're not doing anything wrong, you're not going to get caught doing anything wrong because there'll
right.
be nothing to get caught doing.
Right.
And Robert Kraft said, we will cooperate completely with this investigation. And for a large part, they did. But they wanted to re-interview one of the key guys, one of the equipment guys,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't allow that. Tom Brady certainly didn't cooperate because he didn't turn over. Now, his agent says he answered all their questions. Well, you can lie, too. Which, guess what? I think he did. I mean, when he says, I had no knowledge of this, and all this evidence comes out to the contrary, and the smoking gun is probably his electronic communications. You can say anything in that. You can answer it as calmly as you like. Plenty of people have lied
sure.
in much more serious venues than the Wells investigation,
right.
for goodness sake.
I'm telling you, I was reading it last night laughing. Like, I was sitting on my couch laughing. I was like, I know way too much about how footballs are prepared and chosen and the process of what happens with the footballs between the field before the game and afterwards. I'm never going to watch pregame warm-ups the same. Now that I know what is happening, I'm never going to watch them the same. It is ridiculous in a lot of ways. But what else is ridiculous is, like we were talking about just a few moments ago, this idea of when you're caught, you're caught. Right? And if you're going to lie about it, it's only going to get worse from there. I still think when everything is said and done that the league is probably going to wind up not suspending Tom Brady, but fining him for this. I think the Patriots will probably get a fine for this, and then it'll kind of go away a little bit for them. I'm not sure that they want to make an example of Tom Brady, especially when it is going to be on the Thursday night with that Super Bowl banner being revealed, everything else that's going to be going on up there. I'm not sure that the league wants to make that kind of example of that team.
Well, look, whether or not they've proven it, the fact that he didn't fully cooperate with the investigation is punishable. They punished Brett Favre for doing it in the mini Brett photo scandal
the
with Jen Sturger, right?
$50,000, I think it was.
$50,000, but that didn't impact the integrity of the game on
right.
the field, right? So this should be seen and is being seen by most pundits around the National Football League, people who cover the league, as a more serious thing because it does impact the integrity, and you got an organization that
they've been bending rules forever.
Or breaking them,
right.
outright breaking them. Spygate was broken rules. They lost a first-round pick, and Belichick had the heaviest fine ever levied by the National Football League. They cheated. I mean, there's no other way around it. You can argue about the degree. Did it help them? Well, they won that game by so many. They may have won anyway. That's not the point. My kid goes to class, and let's say he looks at his neighbor's paper, and a teacher catches him red-handed. And he says, well, I only cheated on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that test?
Doesn't matter.
Big
done.
X through the whole thing. You're done. Okay?
And by the way, I don't want to hear the excuse of every team in the league is doing this kind of thing. I don't care if they are or not. The Patriots got caught. And if the NFL wants to make an example of, look, we have these rules in place for a reason. You're not allowed to videotape other teams' practices. You're not allowed to deflate the ball to the point that you like it. 12.5. You got to play with it at that level. You have to play with it at that level. That is the determined rule that we have in this league. And even if everybody is breaking it, now everyone that is on notice if the New England Patriots get some kind of – there is a serious repercussion for them being caught doing this. I don't care if all 32 teams are doing it. I know only one of the two were on that AFC Championship night. I know that. Because the Colts weren't doing it, so you can't tell me definitively that every team, every quarterback is doing
it. And
this.
If every team's doing it, are you turning in your opponent for doing it, knowing you've been doing it all along
right.
as well? Look, you know who's watching this as closely as anybody? Sean Payton, Jonathan Vilma, Bountygate, they got suspended for a whole bunch of games.
They lost their coach for it.
And what did everyone say? Everyone's doing it. It's going on all around
right.
the league. It's going on all around. Show me the evidence that it's
Made
going
an
on
example.
All around the league.
Right.
But here's pretty good evidence right here, and the only reason you probably don't have the smoking gun is because he wouldn't cooperate with the investigation.
And with the Bountygate scandal in New Orleans, yeah, there were a lot of players that have been playing in the league for a long time that said, yeah, we did that on our team. Yeah, we did that kind of thing on our team. And the NFL said, okay, if that kind of thing is going on, we don't want it going on.
So how do you stop it?
Right. So we make an example of the Saints who we got. We got them red-handed. We know they were doing this. We have the evidence that we need to take these guys down. And that kind of, it deters the other people from doing it. Look, I'm not saying deflating the footballs is a big deal, but if the NFL wants to enforce their rules, they now have the Patriots breaking that rule. If you don't want the other teams to do it, then you make the example out of them to make sure nobody else is willing to do that anymore.
Here's what's the big deal. When the face of the league in many ways gets up there and says, you're impugning my integrity, and I absolutely, there's no way, I had no knowledge of any of this. I don't even know this guy.
Right.
Okay? Yes, you do. Okay? Because
yep.
Here's the electronic evidence, because guess what? They used company cell phones, and they couldn't keep their records from being investigated because Robert Kraft did have to turn those over to the league investigation. Tom Brady at least was smart enough to use his own cell phone, or maybe his wife's cell phone, for all I know. She's probably got a lot more than he does. She makes a lot more than he does.
The
and
dude
I say that out of jealousy.
Deflator. He called himself the deflator. Now, he did it in kind of a joking way. I get that. And I know the Patriots are saying, look, these are two guys kind of clowning around with one another. Yeah, then why is it so personally against Tom Brady, who was complaining about the footballs?
Well,
if it's just a joke between two guys, then why is it so pointed towards one person that's not involved in this conversation right now?
Right. Look, the Patriots, you could assume they're going to get most favored nation status because they are the Super Bowl champs, and the NFL will not want to. But they've already done it to them with Spygate, right? And if they didn't want to nail them, they would have warned them ahead of the AFC Championship game. So it's
right.
going to be fascinating to see what comes out of this. But ultimately, I have a hard time believing they're going to make Tom Brady sit for that opener in Foxborough. If it's not that week, he's not sitting at all. Right. If you want to pick week three, we would agree that would be an acceptable alternative when the Jaguars make a visit up to New England.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I think we could live with that.
You should start riding the league right now, Jaguars fans. You don't have to suspend them the first 2 weeks. Week three is good enough for us.
Right. We get it. We get all that stuff. You want them
we
for
wouldn't
those...
want them to not be out there
We're
for the championship
We're not a high-profile game.
Right.
Come on. No big deal here. So that would be fine with us, Garoppolo Nation, in effect. So I'll weigh in today on the fan feedback spotlight. Do you think we're out of our mind for even bringing it up? Is it a bunch of silliness? Should any discipline be imposed on Tom Brady or not based on the findings of the Wells report? Tony, I'm going to consider the authority on it because he read 85 more pages than most people are going to read Wells report, and I'm a synopsis guy, and I'm okay with that because
sure.
you've got the knowledge to back it up today. All right, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Last we looked, Tringali and Jakobsen tied atop the leaderboard. We'll find out for sure in just a moment. We are live at the Stadium Village. Stop by, say hello at the TPC or the Players' Championship. No longer really the TPC. The course is the TPC.
Yeah.
TPC Sawgrass.
Stadium course and Sawgrass.
The stadium course here. here. And we've got the replica Island Green. You can come out and take your best shot at a little 30-yarder and see if you can stick one on there. They might even have some prizes over there if you stick your first shot on. I'm not sure how it all goes down, Tony, but it's a fantastic venue. We got shade going on. It's beautiful outside right now. By the way, the latest weather report I got is Chamber of Commerce weather for the next 3 days after today. So yep. The Players is going to have a spectacular run of it. If you're coming out tomorrow, everyone's playing hooky in the afternoon. We know how you roll. Of course, you got Jaguar minicamp tomorrow. We get the list of workout players that are invited. We'll go through some of those guys. Anybody that catches our eye with all that coming up, you'll hear a little bit from Fred Taylor and Dave Caldwell, whom we both had on yesterday on the program. But right now, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at our home away from home away from home. At the Players, and we send it over to the media center, Jack O'Brien, with this Players Championship update.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship update.
And this report is brought to you by the Law Office of Farrah and Farrah, Coastal Equipment, and by Underwood Jewelers. And here we are in this sun-drenched first round Thursday morning of the Players Championship. All the morning tee times are now on the golf course. Four players now tied at 4 under par, including Cameron Tringali, Freddie Jakobsen, Troy Merritt, and now Ricky Fowler. Fowler just birdied 17. He's playing the backside. He also goes to 4 under par. As Mike said, we're looking for great weather today. A little sunny, a little breezy. Three players are now currently tied at 3 under, including Bubba Watson and Bernard Langer, 2 under after four holes, the two-time Masters champion who turned pro 43 years ago, still giving those young kids a hard time. We'll be back with the next Players Update in 20 minutes.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at the Players. Jaguars today going till noon. We'll hand it off to XL Primetime. McIlroy on the move, Tony.
Yes,
little
he
eagle
is.
At 16. He started on the back nine, so he's on the island green, or on the island hole, at least, moving over to 17, just with an eagle to move to 3 under par. Where's that put him in relation to the leaders?
That is good enough for a tie for fifth, just one stroke behind a group of four leaders that we have out there right now. Cameron Tringali, Freddie Jakobsen, Troy Merritt, Ricky Fowler, just birdied number 17 as well, as he started his day on the back nine. So he's at 4 under par, but that group of four guys at 4 under, a lot of them just making the turn or getting around that area 11, 12 holes into their tournament thus far. Hideki Matsuyama, Bubba Watson, Rory McIlroy, and Bo Van Pelt all at 3 under par as well. So it's they are scoring out there this morning already, and you kind of expected that with there's not a whole lot of wind out here. The weather is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So you would expect them to be able to score this morning. If the wind starts blowing a little bit this afternoon, could affect those scores, but I know it's supposed to be nice out here for the next 3 days.
Yeah, I never know, should I go with the guy who tees off early on Thursday or Friday? It's kind of luck of the draw. You never really know how it's going to play out. Sergio's going off, I think, at 128 today. I went with him, but Darren Clark, Aaron Baddeley, I think 6 over apiece. So not everybody's having a good time of it out here.
Right.
Jordan Spieth, by the way, is 1 over par. Through, I think, 6 holes last I checked.
It's 2 through 7 now. Two over through seven.
All right.
So he bogeyed 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the easiest holes on the course, really. I mean, for me, 11 is sheer treachery. 9 is probably the most difficult hole to me because you got to hit good drive to put yourself in position, hit a well-placed second shot. I'm not going for that green in 2. And then unless you're in the right slot, you got no chance. I have no chance
right.
to hold that green. And if you get down in one of those greenside bunkers on 9, forget it. You know what's a sneaky little hole, and you don't see it as much on TV because it's so early in the round, is number 3.
Yeah.
That's a tabletop. It's a pretty big green. I mean, you got a good-sized green there, but that's a tabletop. And the same thing if you're down in that bunker.
It kicked my butt.
Well,
every time I've played out here, it's killed me.
You know, for us, though, being in the bunker is like, it's treachery,
over.
Right?
This hole is dead.
But for these guys, you know, half the time bunker shots
are aiming.
They're it's safe in the bunker.
Right.
Right? I know as long as I don't get a fried egg.
Right. If I'm going to bail, it's going to be the bunker so I don't have to play from the rough.
But by the way, your boys at Southampton, right? The sand is so soft sometimes in those bunkers.
Mm.
Fried Egg City sometimes, man.
Yeah.
I had one yesterday. Oh, my goodness. It got me bad. It got me bad. But, hey, that's my trials and travails.
I know you're listening, Derek. Fix it, buddy.
Fix it up. That course is in great shape, honestly. I mean, they do a fantastic
job. They've done a great job.
Not too many courses more fun to play than that course around locally. All right, let's get into a little Jag talk here. with the general. We had Dave Caldwell in studio with us yesterday. We walk in today. One of the staffers here from the PGA Tour said, is Dave Caldwell as nice as he seems to be? We're like, yeah. Well, as far as we know, I mean, I don't know what he's doing behind closed doors, but everything we've seen indicates, yes, that the public persona and the private persona are all in one. The more important thing is he could be a little gruff. He could be a little curt if they're winning some Super Bowls, right? I mean, Bill Polian wasn't always the friendliest guy, and that's an understatement. Oh, now he's just a charmer on TV, though, isn't he? It's so funny how many of these guys who hated the media. Now, Polian didn't necessarily hate the media. He was just
hated.
He hated a lot, right? Because he had his own radio show for a long time when he was GM with the Colts. But, you know, you win, you can get away with a lot of stuff. And that's just the nature of the business. But Caldwell and Bradley, good guys to work with. Dave Caldwell yesterday with the rookie minicamp coming up tomorrow and Saturday. By the way, free admission, but you do have to register. And I want to remind you, go to Jaguars.com/rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do, you can register right there, and one registration is good for as many as four people. Come out from 1:10 to 3:15 each of the next couple of days and see the newest batch of Jaguars on display, and a lot of guys who are just fighting for a spot on the 90-man roster with 28 players invited. Dave Caldwell talked about what he's looking for at this rookie minicamp.
Looking, A, to get out of it healthy, and B, just to get some work and kind of gauge where all the rookies are. And, you know, it's hard for these rookies. They go through their season ends in January. They get ready for the combine, and then they go on all these trips and physicals and all this stuff, and they never really have an opportunity to get in shape. And so just kind of gauge where they are and make sure that we have a plan going forward for all these guys that could put them in the best position to make the team.
Among the players invited tomorrow, the name's not so important, but it's interesting to me to look at the schools. Here are the schools, some of the schools represented among these 28 non-roster invitees.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling Green, UMass, Western Michigan, Pittsburgh State, which is in Kansas, by the way, Akron, South Florida, Portland State, UNC Charlotte, Indiana of Pennsylvania, okay? Not to be confused with Indiana of, Indiana. Tennessee Martin, Valdosta State, Buffalo, Old Dominion, Northern Iowa, Sacred Heart represented, the Citadel, UT Chattanooga. You know what this was 4 years ago?
Third round.
It was Gene Smith's draft class. That's what this was 4 years ago, man. There are a few mixed in there. Let's see. Watts Danzler from Georgia. You know, so a few guys you may know. Leon Brown, offensive lineman from the University of Alabama. 6'6", 320. Big boy. Obviously played against some good competition, both of those guys. So you got a few ACC and SEC players mixed in that you may know. But a bunch of guys that... And this is what this is for, right? The non-roster invitees come on out and try out rather than us spend a draft pick on these guys. So
sure.
And he's Big School Dave now.
Look, they've gotten he is Big School Dave, especially compared to what you got used to, Jacksonville. But that's kind of the novelty of this draft class. The first six draft picks, maybe you didn't watch James Sample play a whole lot at Louisville because he's a safety. And you're not paying a whole lot of attention to it. But you know where Louisville is, and you know what kind of program it is.
And they had a boatload of players drafted.
Right. The other five guys... You've seen.
Yeah.
You've watched. You know what they are as a football. You have some idea of what they are before they ever set foot on the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think that feeds a lot of the enthusiasm that we've seen over the last two or three days is the fact that we've seen Michael Bennett play, and they got him in the sixth round. There's this enthusiasm for this draft class because we have a relationship with these guys before it even starts.
I'm thinking we just had an ace here. Is that what we had here? Because we didn't see the ball go in. We had our back turned to the replica island green.
Some guy really didn't think he was going to get on it. Like he bet his friend $50 as I get
on. Ah, that's a good point.
But
that's
I didn't see what happened with the results, so I would assume.
Big cheer from the crowd back there. Dave Caldwell, you asked him, Tony. All right, free agency done. Kudos for that. Draft class done. Everybody giving you A grades. After all the improvements this offseason, does Dave Caldwell feel this team now is finally ready to win?
Well, we would hope so. And, you know, we probably felt like we were ready to start winning, you know, internally the first 2 years. We always go into it with, you know, an optimistic approach and just our thought processes. You never know what happens. The NFL is such a a competitive league that, you know, so many of the games come down to a touchdown or less. And we were in a lot of those games last year. And now, you know, with an upgrade of talent through free agency and upgrade of talent in the draft and all of our younger players, you know, with a year more experience, you know, some of those games maybe we lost by 3 or 4 points or a touchdown are going to swing in our favor this year for 3 or 4 points or a touchdown. And then once you get some momentum, you never know what can happen.
Yeah, well, we know what can happen. We remember 96, okay? That was a classic case of of momentum.
Look, he downplayed it a little bit, and I remember 2 years ago when he made the comment about, you know, what they were doing, even when they brought Toby Gerhardt in last year. And it was that question was specifically about the running back position, the fact that he had added T.J. Yeldon. And something that Dave Caldwell had said in the past was he feels like a running back is one of the last things you add to a roster
right.
that's ready to compete. And when they were going after DeMarco Murray, it struck me that way. It's he feels like they're ready. Like, between what they're doing in free agency and what they can potentially do in this draft, he feels like this team is ready to start winning football games. And the fact that they couldn't get DeMarco Murray, whatever offer they made, that they made it a priority in the second round to go get a guy that they feel like can be their three downs, he can stay on the field when they need him to stay on the field, running back, is an indication that, at least based on his previous comments, that he feels like this is a roster that's ready to compete. I didn't expect him, when I asked that question, to say, yeah, we're going to win 10 games
right,
this year.
Right,
right. I think that he should answer it. Look, we think we're going to be competitive every year, but you can sense that they feel better about it now than they have at any point in this process.
No limits, Tony.
Right.
And if we get to inflate the balls to our specifications, who knows, maybe 16-0 is possible. We've seen it happen recently with a particular team, and who knows what was going on with the footballs that year.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Oh, bad boys, you NFL people. According to the federal courts, Tony, 1982, a federal jury ruled that the NFL violates antitrust laws. This is about how they can try and block one team who's an independent entity from moving to another city.
Mm-hmm.
And that opened the door for the Oakland Raiders to move to Los Angeles on this date in 1982. So Al Davis delighted in poking the bear.
I miss Al Davis.
The sun, the haircut, wow. Al Davis, the members only jacket trumps the haircut for sure with Mark Davis.
I'm telling you, that PowerPoint presentation with the we fired him with cause is one of the best of all
time. It was pretty good. Johnny U, born on this date in football history way back in 1933, May the 7th, of course, passing away September 11th. 2002, but Johnny Unitas, 10-time Pro Bowler and a 5-time first-team All-Pro, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1979. And Tony topped the passing charts for the longest time. And considering the era he played in, his place in the rankings shows you just how dominant he was with over 40,000 passing yards, 290 touchdowns. Did throw 253 interceptions, but again, a different time, not as aligned to the gaudy passing totals we see today. So
sure.
Rest in peace, Johnny U, but happy birthday. 1933, the day Johnny Unitas was brought into the world. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company at Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price and give you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Yeah, pretty incredible from Johnny Unitas. I'm looking at the all-time passing list right now. Even with all the proliferation of the passing game here in the past 20, 25 years, still only 14 men have ever passed for 40,000 yards in an NFL career. Johnny Unitas was the first to do it. He's 14th on that list, but again, for that era of football he played in, pretty incredible what he accomplished. Another pretty incredible player, Ed Reed, will officially retire from the NFL. Reed is 36 years old. It's been named to 8 All-Pro teams, as well as 9 Pro Bowls. He was the 2004 Defensive Player of the Year and a Super Bowl champion in 2012 with the Baltimore Ravens, considered by some as the greatest ball-hawking safety of all time. The Lyle Collins story continues to develop. The latest bit of news involving a paternity test to determine whether or not Collins was the father of the child that was murdered. The test was negative. Collins is not the father of that child. And again, to be clear at this point, Collins has never been called a suspect in that case. And former Washington Redskins tight end Fred Davis has been reinstated by the NFL, now free to sign with any team after being released by Washington when he was suspended. I don't bring it up because I think the Jags should be looking at Davis, but as a story from today that shows where the Justin Blackmon story has to go for him to be a part of the league again, Davis faced the same suspension as Blackmon has an indefinite one that was handed down to Davis in February of 2014. So that's last February. This offseason, Davis applied for reinstatement. It has now been granted. He's officially a part of the National Football League again, but he had to apply for that reinstatement. For those who keep asking us, what's up with Justin Blackmon? He's not doing what Fred Davis has done. He hasn't expressed an interest to the NFL yet that he wants to be back in the fold.
You know, Mark Long, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm paraphrasing, not quoting him directly, but on XL Primetime said that he had reapplied. It's pretty clear that he got turned down. Now, I don't know if Mark's got specific information or he's trying to make an assumption on that. I really don't know.
Sure.
And we should get Mark Long on to talk about that. And, Mark, if you're out there, give us a call and clarify those remarks, because I've not heard that from anybody, that he has specifically applied for reinstatement. Mark may know that. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I haven't heard that from anybody down at the stadium. And everything we've heard, I mean, every time that Gus Bradley or Dave Caldwell are asked about it, somebody nationally writes a new story about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing new about it.
No.
Dave Caldwell went on Sirius XM NFL radio the other day, earlier this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday,
and
he basically said status quo. And then he did follow. He said, look, if he does get reinstated, we will welcome him back with open arms. Okay, that part's not getting reported nearly as much. What's getting picked up is where he said, well, we did draft two wide receivers this year. You can probably get an indication of where we think this is going, or words to that effect. He didn't say he's not coming back. He said if he does come back, open arms, we will welcome him back as part of his football team.
He said exactly what we've been saying basically this entire process.
The entire time he's been suspended, Tony. If he comes back, we'll welcome him back, and we're not counting on him coming back. They've never counted on him coming back. And it's a completely non-new story, but because it gets reported in a different venue, it get picked up for a whole new wave, a whole new cycle of reporting on basically the same old stuff.
I just wanted to point out that your favorite golfer in the world is walking by right now as he makes a turn from the back to the front.
Me?
That would be Ian Poulter.
Oh!
He's walking by right
now. I'm my own favorite golfer. Are you kidding me? Is that him in the green?
That's him in the pink, I think, in the visor.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
Ian Poulter, I'll give him credit. He plays this tournament well
times.
You know, there are guys, horses for the course. Freddie Jakobsen, it's not a surprise to see him high on the leaderboard, right? I mean, this guy gets off to a good start seemingly every year. So there's some guys that just have a comfort level that fits their eye. Tony, give me a quick look at the tip-top of the leaderboard. What do you got?
You still got Merritt out there at 5-under par. He's all alone in the lead. Freddie Jakobsen, Ricky Fowler now at 4-under. So Ricky gets the par there on the dreaded 18th.
If Ricky follows suit, Ricky will get a top five but not win it, right?
Because
he top fived all the majors last year. And
he's been in contention out here before, too, going into the weekend. So Ricky seems to show up on the leaderboard at all the big events on the tour and just can't quite find to get over the top. I mean, we've had guys like that in golf for a while. Sergio finally won a Players here, 2008? That he won the Players out here. That's the biggest tournament of his career that he's won. So, look, we've had guys that have hovered around leaderboards for their entire careers and never found a way to get on top. Ricky Fowler seems to be that type of guy, at least to this point in his young career.
But Sergio has such a terrific track record at the Ryder Cup, you know, and he's had European Tour success. He's won a little bit on the PGA Tour, not a whole bunch, but a little bit. So, he's much older at this point, obviously, than Ricky Fowler. But
sure,
you wonder if they're following the same general career path. I hope, as an American golf fan, that Ricky Fowler wins. I don't care about the majors so much as winning some Ryder Cups, please.
Right.
let's get on to Fred Taylor yesterday, who jumped on with us on Jaguars Today. Good to catch up with Fred and really talk highly of Dante Fowler, being a really cool guy, hardworking guy.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to ask him, though, that running back relationship, and talked about T.J. Yeldon, and Fred weighed in on, you know, what differences he'll face in adapting to the pro game.
Learning, you know, the NFL game. The transition isn't always a smooth transition for a lot of these guys because they tend to make the game bigger than what it really is. But once he learns the tempo of the NFL game and learns how to hide his body behind those big offensive linemen up front, I mean, I really think he's a guy that can provide a pretty good spark and also a guy who could be that go-to-distance guy.
Also talk to Fred, you know, just look, player to player is one thing, but just running back to running back, what would you tell a guy you came in and clearly, you know, Fred was a top 10 pick, T.J. Yeldon was, and it's a different set of circumstances, but I asked him what advice he would give from one running back to another coming into the league.
Stay humble, first and foremost, because he's going to have some success. He's going to have the media telling him this. People are going to tell him all types of stuff. But stay humble is the first part, person to person when I meet him. Secondly, player to player, running back to running back, I would just say, you know, just trust your eyes, man. When you're out there on the field, you're the CEO. Don't second guess yourself. You got to make that cut, live with it, and please do not miss a block and get the quarterback killed.
You know, Tony, that is probably the two things, fumbling, turnovers, but pass protection is the hardest thing for guys who don't have to do much of it at college. To, if they're not good at it, it's the biggest impediment, I guess I should put it that way, to getting on the field early. T.J. Yeldon, look, what Dave Caldwell talked about him yesterday, it's quite clear that he likes his big running backs, right? I mean, 6'1", 220. We want that big-sized guy. And that he probably, with that in mind, drafted Denard Robinson because they thought he'd be a versatile piece to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt Dave Caldwell ever... His long-term goal was to make him the man. I mean, that's why they signed Toby Gerhardt last year.
Toby Gerhardt, right?
I mean, that Toby turned out to be somewhat of a miss based on the way he performed last year. I get the injury and all the circumstances and the line play. But here you got a guy who's done it at a high level. They think can run well inside and outside. He's got quick feet, good in the passing game, excellent in pass protection. As Dave Caldwell said, a true three-down running back. And as we pointed out, I think Mel Kiper made the mention, you know, when you go to that hurry-up, here's a guy you don't have to take off the field. So keep an eye on T.J. Yeldon. Fred Taylor talking about the importance for all these young players of building a strong relationship with their specific position coach.
Position coaches, what they want to do as position coaches is they just want to establish trust from their players. And as a player, you want to make sure that your coach is, you know, he's on your side. It's what he says is what you're getting and vice versa. There shouldn't be any black and white. You want to be able to trust your position coach that when things aren't going right, he's going to redirect you and stick behind you.
Yeah, look, the whole thing with Fred is just fun for me because anybody who's covered him from day one coming in the league, they see him now and what he's becoming as a statesman of the game. I mean, really, Fred is just, I love the guy. I love the guy. He's such a cool guy. And as we said yesterday, such a hard worker. So many guys. I've seen it. I've seen it up close. I've seen it firsthand. So many players just kind of coast and take it for granted. Hey, I'm a player. I'm going to show up. I'm a star already. I'm just going to give my opinion. You don't have to put in the work. Fred is really grinded to be the best he can be, and whatever that is, I'm sure he'll reach his full potential because that's the kind of work he's putting in. So
certainly.
It was great to work with the guy last year, man. It was just fun catching up with him yesterday. Jaguars today continuing live from the Stadium Village out here at the Players Championship. Is that Mr. Dan Hicken?
It is.
That's Mr. Dan Hicken wearing another pink shirt, carrying a camera stand.
Right there with him.
Camera tripod. Now, is he carrying Martino's tripod? Is that how this is working?
Yeah, I think
right
Martino's got the camera.
Martino's texting? Oh, he does have the camera? Okay. All right. It looked like Martino might have been texting or tweeting while Dan was carrying the equipment. I'm like, wow. That is an interesting dynamic going on right there for the boys at CBS 47 and Fox 30. But we're all over the place out here. Couldn't have asked for a better day. Hot? No. Gorgeous? Yes. A little breezy? Perfect. Keep you cool. Abundant sunshine, Tony. I literally cannot see a cloud right now above me. And I use literally in a literal sense when I say that. Still so many people don't. But nevertheless, leaderboard, yeah, it's going along swimmingly like you would expect with the conditions. So let's send it over to the media center and find out exactly what's going on. Here's Jack O'Brien with your Players Championship update.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship update.
And this report brought to you by the Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant and by Synovus Bank. I'm Jack O'Brien. Your leaders, Troy Merritt, 5 under par, now joined by Ricky Fowler, also at 5 under par through 10 holes. Merritt putting for par on number 14. He's got a 9-footer. Here's something you don't see every day. Brooks Koepka, the rookie out of Florida State, with 2 quadruple bogeys in a row on 17 and 18, throwing a double bogey on 14, 3 birdies, and that comes to a 44 on the backside. Then he goes out to number one and bogeys number one. He's 9 over par. You can write Brooks Koepka off for this championship. Live from the Media Center at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass, I'm Jack O'Brien with this Players' Championship update, and we will return in just 20 minutes.
Jaguars today live at the Players, right outside the replica 17th Stadium Village. Stop by. There's a lot of stuff going on inside, Tony. A lot of demo stuff going on inside. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing. All these people are standing out here just along this rail to our left.
Where yes.
We're over at the fake 17. Where people are trying to get a hole in one. I guess you get some kind of prize. I haven't even asked about it yet. But there's all these people sitting around watching, and I just want to ask them if they know they can just walk a couple hundred yards and go watch professionals hit onto number 17.
It's really just a couple hundred yards
right.
from us. It's right down that sidewalk.
As opposed to all these Joe Schmoes trying to win a car or something.
Typical attire out here, Tony. What would you say? What's a typical shirt people wear out here?
Golf shirt,
right? I mean, that's a typical shirt you wear, but a golf shirt... Anytime you're outside in
Florida. You get all the Easter colors out here, generally speaking.
You get a lot of that.
Weekend, yeah.
You get a golf shirt's always appropriate. I mean, we wear golf shirts. So that's dressy clothes for us in our business. You're outside on a sunny day like this. You don't have to work. You're going to wear shorts, right? So that you. What do you look like when you wear those things? You look like a golfer, right?
Yeah.
Can we stop it there? Maybe the hat. The hat, because you got to keep the sun off your head. You don't want skin cancer. You don't want to get overheated. Got this tweet from Mike, and I can't agree more. At Kayak Fish, please ask all the guys coming out to TPC to leave their golf shoes at home.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Do you wear cleats to a Suns game? You look silly. As I've said in the past, we're not laughing with you. We are laughing at you, all right? What are they going to call you in? You wear your glove, too? Let me put on a golf club, Tony. Maybe Jordan Spieth will need me to hit this key chip shot for
right.
him at this point in time.
Okay. I'm ready.
Yes, there are a lot of hilly expanses out here, okay? You think you're going to break your neck if you don't have the soft spikes on?
That's right. The sneakers will get it done. Man.
There are also a lot of sidewalks out here. Okay,
you're
going to wear your soft spikes down to the nub walking around out here. I mean, it's honestly, it is the most ridiculous looking thing. That's right. I'm talking to you, golf shoe wearing guy, to the Players Championship or any other golf tournament. If you're not playing, the only time you wear those is when you're too lazy to take them off when you get back in the car after your round. That's the only time it's acceptable to wear those out in public other than when you're playing golf, Tony.
I'm totally with you.
And I do that because I stop by the grocery store on the way home from a round of golf, and I'll go in there on my soft spikes because they won't chew up the floor.
You know,
they're soft spikes, for goodness sakes. But it's not a fashion statement. It's a lazy statement is what it is. I got to believe, by the way, they got a table full of sleeves of balls over there. I got to believe you get a sleeve for getting it on the green. I can't think they're giving away a sleeve of balls to ace this shot.
Right. What do you get if you ace it?
Sleeve of balls on the green. What do you get for acing the iPad? Wow, my man, I don't know if that's true or not, but my man here in the purple says iPad. He may be providing that. Are you providing the iPad? Last year was iPad. I'll take an iPad.
Yeah. I won't make that shot.
I'll take an
iPad.
See, that's the thing. It's not worth the embarrassment to me. I'll shank it dead right into that screen over there. Oh, like that guy just did. Oh, I called that one. Wow, that was dead shank city right there. I want him to sweep the green, though, Tony, because right where that ball is 1 foot behind the hole, I'm going to hit it right there and suck it back into the cup. That's what I'm going to do. So now we have a gentleman talking to us while we're doing a live radio broadcast. So we got a headset on. Sorry, sir. We can't communicate with you as well as we'd like to at the moment. But thank you for the information on the iPad. He's a good-natured guy. And guess what? He's not wearing golf shoes. Congratulations, sir.
Common sense prevails.
Common sense prevailing once again. Do not wear your golf shoes out here unless you're actually a registered member of the PGA Tour and you are playing in the Players' Championship. All right? You're just absolutely silly. I mean, I'd rather see you wear flip-flops or those awful Crocs. Those things are hideous. You
They're
wear those things?
No, but everyone I know that has them swears by them. They love those shoes.
I would think they would rub the skin raw right off your feet.
Apparently not.
I'm not going to find out because they're hideous.
Apparently not.
Hideous. I don't know if they make Crocs big enough to fit my feet, by the way. Not quite sure. Give me a poke and a peek at the leaderboard.
A poke and a peek and a pancake. Freddie Jacobson
sure
at 5 under par. He is tied now with Troy Merritt and Ricky Fowler. Also gets a birdie there on number one as he played the back nine first this morning. He is 5 under par going to number two.
Hang, Ricky.
There on the front side. So the three-way tie there atop the leaderboard. Bo Van Pelt all alone in fourth right now at 4 under par. Rory McIlroy holding there. He gets the par on 17. He gets the par on 18. He's making the turn to the front side as well. He is 3 under par through his first 9 holes of this tournament.
Excellent. Donnie Helmley tweets us, at D. Helmley on Twitter, says his nephew Jeff aced this mini hole yesterday, but he did not go swimming. He was not the one. I'm sure, you know, since we've been here, I think we've had one ace in the hour and a half.
Pretty sure we did.
It's a 30-yard pitch shot. You got enough people taking shots at it, you know. I think if we stood there for an hour and a half and just took pitch shot after pitch shot, we'd make at least one.
Probably.
You think after, like, an hour and a half of balls, you hit as many as you want in an hour and a half, take as many shots?
Probably.
I think so. I think so.
I heard a story like that. I was out at the World Golf Village over the weekend to go see Avengers.
Fancy.
Right, to go see Avengers out in the IMAX. And my friend wanted to go hit a couple shots on the green out there,
yes.
Right? Because he wants to get his name on a brick or
what
something.
What is that, like a $140?
It's something
140
around,
yards?
Yeah, it's something like that. But we were asking the guy that's running the place, you know, have you seen anybody make it today? He's like, not today, but earlier this week I had a father and son come in, and the son was celebrating his 13th birthday. So he bought him 13 golf balls to hit at this green, said he knocked it in on the first shot.
Aced it
on the first shot.
I count that.
Right. And you get your name on a brick over there inside the pavilion.
If you make it on the green, you get it. If you ace it, you get your name
you
on a brick?
You ace it. There's a special place with the hole in one.
Okay.
I'm sure you get something else, too.
Honestly, my anniversary of my ace out at World Golf Village will be coming up. And I'm not telling the story, okay? But I have yet to get the brick, and Jim Hahn, the GM over there, is like, give me all the date and all the time, because he remembers me doing it, but I have yet to get my brick because I'm lazy, Tony. I'm the kind of guy who will wear his golf shoes into Publix after the round, because that's how lazy I am. Can't be bothered to do these little menial tasks like getting my brick out there. But that's just, so what did he do with the other 12 shots?
I don't know. I don't even know if he took them.
I mean, what can you do to top that, right? I mean, other than get another one, right? Which would have been phenomenal.
I just hand the club to Dad. Go ahead.
How many of those you make? Two. So you got two on the green out of 13. No, I made two in the hole.
Right.
And 9 of the other 11 went on the green. That's pretty good. Happy 13th birthday, kid. I hate you. Right? You're that good at 13. What are you going to be when you're my age?
Right.
You're going to be filthy rich.
I do want to say this. Based on the conversation we were just having about footwear, Duval Doom has sent us a picture of what he's wearing. I'm not going to mention what he sent a picture of. I don't want any more pictures of this. So I'm not going to mention specifically what it was. But Duval Doom, I don't ever need to see that again. That is what I will share. I don't need to see this. And if I mention what it's of, then everyone's going to send me a picture of that. So I don't want it sent to me. So I'm not going to mention it. But no, I don't need to see that. Duval Doom.
Ladies could send me that picture if they wanted to. But not Doom. And look, you look at our Twitter timelines. You'll find out what it is. And there are no ladies who I'd want to see that on, send them to me or follow my timeline.
That's right.
Although all you ladies who tweet us, I'm sure you're all exquisite, and I take that back. All right, I'm sure all of you go ahead and tweet me pictures of whatever you like, if you're so inclined. We really need a break right about now. Okay, really, really, really in the worst way. All right, top of the leaderboard. Well, I tell you what, they're going low. Conditions are absolutely glorious. It's a great day for you to be out here if you can. If you can't, hope you have plans to make it out sometime over the next three days. Don't forget, you have to get your parking in advance. Go to pjtour.com, and you can get it there. And also for Jag Minicamp for the next couple of days, jaguars.com/rookieminicamp. We're pulling double duty as much as we can over the next few days. Tony's got updates all afternoon today and tomorrow. I'm going to be out here for the show tomorrow. I'm going to hustle over and take in some of the rookie minicamp and probably try to make it on Saturday as well. Just check out some of the new charges. Not quite the same without a new quarterback to break in, and everybody's all giddy. But then again, Blake threw some ducks at the rookie minicamp last year, did he not?
Goodness. I remember standing out there watching Blake Bortles and a couple of those deep balls. I was like, oh no,
number three pick, oh no.
Oh.
But mechanical issues, and he's getting things ironed out.
I also remember watching Stephen Morris throw bombs to Alan Hearns and ignoring it. Like, I remember doing that at rookie minicamp, too. I was like, that's the quarterback that's not making a team throw into an undrafted rookie free agent. Like, it doesn't matter what
right.
those two guys
are. They played in college together. Right. They're going to make each other look good.
Little
here.
Did we know what Allen Hurns would be for this
season. Steve Moore splashed a big arm last year out there, but Allen Hurns, obviously, leading the team in receiving yards last year was
yep.
a big part of the Jaguars' plans then and now. So maybe you get the next wave. Maybe it's Rashad Green. Maybe it's Dante Fowler. Maybe it's T.J. Yeldon. Maybe it's somebody else making that big impact this year. Hopefully all of those guys and more. So we'll be out there for that. Right now we're live at the Players. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today. Let's send it back to the media center. Jack O'Brien with this Players Championship update.
Here's a 1010XL 92.5 FM Casa Marina Hotel and Restaurant Players Championship update.
This report is sponsored by the Advanced Business Solutions and Oki Data Copiers and Amason's Waste Management. Beautiful good Thursday morning to you live from the Stadium Club at Sawgrass, where now four players are tied for the lead in this first round at 5 under par, including 40-year-old Freddie Jacobson, Ida Hohen, Troy Merritt, Ricky Fowler, and now, after a birdie at number 17, Bo Van Pelt. There's still six players tied at 3, 2 shots back, including Rory McIlroy. Notable upcoming tee times this afternoon, Tiger Woods, Adam Scott, and Martin Keimer, all former Players champions. At 1:49 this afternoon, Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, and KJ Choi also at 1:40 today. We're live at the Media Center at the Stadium Club at Sawgrass for the first round of the Players Championship back in 20 minutes.
All right, down the home stretch we come here live at the Players. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today. Home away from home away from home for Jaguars today at Stadium Village right outside the replica 17. Quick point of clarification.
Yes.
David Lamb pointed this out. The new style golf shoes that are like sneakers, right, that are not like spike laden, they're just, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Don't wear the spikes.
Apparently that's what Cowher was wearing yesterday.
Oh, those are, okay, if you can unscrew spikes out of your shoe, do not wear them as a spectator, okay? Because, again, we're not laughing with you, we're laughing at you.
That's correct.
Do not do that. Secondly, go check out the Twitter feed and see if you want to be horrified what Duval Doom sent us, okay? And a better reaction I will not find than JagsGirl904 on Twitter saying, Johnny. Why? Okay, go check it out.
That was kind of my question, and I didn't say exactly what it was because I don't want that flooding my timeline.
It's going to happen. All right, and that's fine. Somebody said, by the way, if you promote hashtag without shoes on Instagram, and you post a picture of your feet without shoes, then Toms will donate a pair to a kid in need.
Oh, that's cool.
I think I've heard about that, and I will investigate that.
Yeah.
And maybe I can forward Duval Doom's. I don't do the Instagram thing, but I can forward Duval Doom's picture along the way. Tony, quickly, fan feedback spotlight today. What kind of punishment, if any, should Tom Brady, what kind of discipline should he get from the league based on the Wells report?
Here's what we got from Paolo. As much as I want for Tom to miss the Jags game, a large fine is proper, in my opinion, from Irish Jaguar. No more Uggs advertisements from the Duke of Duval. They should make Brady inflate every football the NFL uses. From Paul, we got at least 3 games, I'd say, pretty please, Commissioner. From Nick, 3-game suspension as a Jags fan, but most likely a fine, hashtag not that serious, hashtag move on. From Cristiano, 3 games minimum, or make him wear Giselle's heels against the Jaguars. That would be sweet. From It's Adam, none. Let all quarterbacks choose PSI to ensure no competitive advantage since most do it anyway. From David, make him play quarterback in Cleveland. From Duval Doom, a 3-game suspension. From Paul, Brady should have to play a full season with overinflated balls, hashtag 20 PSI. From Brian, 8-game suspension and a $500,000 fine. Also, Kraft, $1 million fine. Public censure and no media contact for 8 games. That's really harsh. From Joey, find the team. That's it. Wells report flawed and biased. And from Black Dog Express, yes, of course, you guys are out of your mind. And yes, something should be done to New England. Hashtag don't hold your breath.
Overinflated balls. Ain't that a kick in the pants? all right. I'm tweeted or texted by Tyler. He says from May 5th through May 21st, Toms will give out up to 1 million pair of shoes. So I guess if you do that without hashtag without shoes on Instagram of your naked feet, or at least
that's cool.
Sock-clad feet, perhaps.
Yeah, that's cool.
One last one before we welcome in the guru here. I got this one from Joshua Lee Wright in terms of Brady discipline. Give me his wife for a week because... reasons, hashtag Jaguars today. Am I the only one who doesn't think Giselle is all, I mean, super, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get Kate Moss. I don't get Giselle. I just don't get it. I thought Heroin Chic went out 20 years ago. Is that not the case? I mean,
you're going into conspicuously dark eyebrows.
I know. I'm just saying.
I'm just warning you as you walk into the territory that you're walking into that territory.
Clearly, the market has spoken. She is a filthy rich supermodel because people pay to see her image. I'm not one of those. I do not. I don't.
I can understand.
I don't get
that.
It. I don't get it. But here he is, the always handsome, dapper, and sartorially splendid David Lamb, who would never wear spikes to a golf course unless he was actually playing golf. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Tony. I would not wear golf shoes. I have been covering golf for nearly 50 years and have never worn golf shoes as a member of the media covering golf.
Now, wait a minute. I know you've covered a lot of Suns games. You don't wear cleats? You don't wear your spikes?
I have never put on the little knickers either for a Suns game.
Interesting.
I've never worn short or long. When
shoulder pads to a football game?
Never have.
I would have thought that was a commonplace thing based on the amount of golf shoes.
Although, rather than I wear a belly pad to a lot of them. That's
Chops.
Not true. That's happened to be me, unfortunately.
You're the king of the Players Championship media coverage, have been forever, but give me your thoughts first on the Jags draft and the offseason as a whole. How much do you think they got accomplished?
I love the draft because, number one, they went after and got big school players, and they spread it out. Two wide receivers, every other player is at a different position. You know, they're 9-39 for a reason. They aren't very good. They don't have enough good players. So they've got a lot of areas of need. Well, hopefully they got the right players from a Jaguars perspective, but at least they filled slots on the depth chart. Free agency, you know, four of the free agents they signed were basically career backups. Now, ideally, you want to catch guys ascending rather than go get the star who's on the downside and overpay him. So hopefully if these guys, you know, if Parnell's as good as they think he is, but once he had seven starts in his life.
Yeah, not many.
Pastore started more games at right tackle than Jeremy Parnell. Scooter, everybody talks about Scooter as if he's already in the Hall of Fame. And I keep asking, well, why the hell did the 49ers let him go? They're not exactly rich in linebackers with the injuries and some retirements. But they let a guy go that they keep saying, this is a wonderful football player. Now, I hope they are as good, but I think we have to be very careful not to go overboard.
Sometimes salary cap situations determine that. We talked a lot about JT Thomas. I'd love to have had him back on this team, on a team that's not rich in linebacker depth, certainly.
Certainly.
And the Giants are going to give him a chance to compete to start up in New York. So, you know, different organizations will value guys differently. Scooter specifically, and Tony and I have mentioned this time and time again, but we were so struck the day they brought in all these free agent signings, like that Wednesday. And, like, three of those guys, they didn't even know everybody who got signed, you know, because they're not in the same bubble that we are. And we're going through the guys, and they're like, Scooter, we got Scooter.
Yeah.
They were so excited that Dan Scooter was going to be on this football team, which I was like, wow, I mean, this is his peers talking. So, and I tell you this, Parnell, they're giddy about Parnell.
Oh, no, I've heard him. I've heard him on your show.
Marone, Dave Caldwell, they think this guy is going to be something else. Now we'll find out, right?
I hope they're right. But again, every time you pick up a free agent, that means the other team didn't want him. Now, occasionally it may be salary cap, but still they didn't want him. They didn't think he was good enough to, you know, to open up the pocketbook or keep him. So they saw a flaw, but does it mean
well, you know, Tony,
it's funny, this weekend I was watching all the draft coverage and I saw Garrett, the Cowboys head coach, interviewed a couple times, and independent of any question coming up about what happened this offseason, he brought up Jeremy Parnell in both interviews that I saw him, and he said it's a big loss for us. Now, they didn't want to pay him because they got Doug Free, who they were paying that money, and they didn't want to pay starting right tackle money to a backup right tackle, which is what Parnell was going to be for them. For Jacksonville, he's getting that opportunity to start. I have the same reservations to some degree as you do. Scooter, I was exactly on board with you, Dave. Like, I had watched tape on him a little bit as soon as they signed him, and it was hearing other players in the league that have this reverence for that player specifically and what he brings to a football team opened my eyes a little bit to maybe what the perception of that player actually is.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently he's a very good player. I get it. Go back to why did the 49ers let him walk? I mean, it's wasn't like the Jaguars opened up the bank vault to pay him. They paid him well, but I would think that it was a reasonable amount, as I recall.
He got a pretty good contract. I mean, for a guy that wasn't, you know.
He plays essentially the same position as Alden Smith,
right?
Too. And they're going to pay Alden. They're not going to play Scooter. It's the same thing with Parnell. They got a couple of guys who the teams that had him feel good about, but couldn't afford to pay them starter money. The Jaguars can, but they are asking backups to come in and be starters.
I mean, two things I've never heard an NFL team say. We have too many great quarterbacks. We have too many great pass rushers.
Okay, but Dave, the Jags said, you know what, Terrence Knighton's not worth it to us, and he's got nothing but rave reviews since he went to Denver, right? That's a team that is a contender, right? And so it happens across the league, and you can, just because they'd say, why does this team who's not winning any games not want this guy? He can't be any good. So it doesn't always go hand in hand. Anyway, let's get to the players here, Dave. Are you looking around? Have you seen a better opening day in terms of conditions? Scores indicate that. And it looks like, other than maybe the wind blowing, you're going to get some nice conditions for the weekend for some really chances to go low.
Yeah, I'll be charged with sounding like a houseman here. I think this TPC Sawgrass Stadium course is the best all-around test for top golfers they play on the tour. It requires you to do everything. Power is always good. But you better throttle back. Some holes don't require power. You've got to move the ball left to right. You've got to move it right to left. A great mixture. I love the fact that when you look at the golf course, they got three par fours under 400 yards, which means by tour standards, those are little itty-bitty holes. And yet, they don't tear them up. I love the mixture. I just think it's an outstanding test. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't score, because if you hit good shots, you're rewarded. What this course doesn't do, you don't get a lot of bad breaks. You don't take a lot of funny bounces. And if you hit bad shots, you get penalized. But good shots, you can go out here and shoot 65, and I'm sure we'll see some great scores. Now, if the wind doesn't – it's pretty breezy out there, and it needs to blow. But I expect good scoring all week as long – if the weather's like this, these are the best golfers in the world. But it's a great test of golf and what they've done to the course here from a spectator venue. It's unbelievable.
None better.
I go back to 1982 when then we went, wow, this is really cool. The tour doesn't have anything like this. And 34 years later, they've literally made most of the holes mini stadiums with covered seating, air conditioning, great food, restroom facilities.
And it's funny, too, because this is the only time of year you come out here. This it's like tent city goes up, but it's better than, you know, it's like portable buildings all over the place that you're like, okay, wow, they got all these great facilities, and they disappear right? For 50 weeks out of the year, and they put them up in the weeks leading up to the tournament.
But they spent $1.5 million on restroom facility out by
they do have some new permanent facilities, certainly.
Now stop and think about it. They put $1.5 million in a restroom facility for 4 days a year. Now that doesn't mean during the year golfers won't go in there to use it. But other than 4 days, I don't think they need 12 urinals and 8 stalls.
I like to be treated first class when I'm getting close to the end of my round,
yes.
Tony. Dave, Ricky Fowler, 6-under par currently, Tony. Tied or in solo possession?
Solo possession of the lead.
What's your take on this guy? I mean, all the talent, right? Top five in all the majors last year. Won one time on tour. Is he a great big tease, or is he ready to break out?
I think he's ready to break out. He looks like he has all the game in the world. His game reminds me of Jordan Spieth. They're the golfers. They don't hit it the furthest, but they do everything really well. Why Fowler hasn't won more, it's hard to say. Maybe he doesn't have it, you know, in the chest. Maybe he just doesn't have the nerves to be a big-time winner. Great marketing. He has a tremendous following. Now that he's gotten rid of his goofy, I look like a banana, I look like an orange, I look like a grape outfits.
I love the commercial with the old dude, though.
That is funny.
That's hilarious. Hey, Richard! I love that commercial.
But he's very popular, though. But now I think he's got the talent, and maybe he will break out.
Last year and a half, who's had a better last year and a half, Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler Jr.?
Jordan Spieth.
Of course he has, right? Because he won the Masters, right? All you people who think it's better that the Bills went to 4 Super Bowls and didn't win any than somebody who won one of them, it's wrong, okay?
Believe the Bills had one of the great runs in football.
It was a great run, but it's not as good as anyone who won the actual thing. I mean, is Ricky Fowler, is that year better than anyone who's won a major?
Now you're talking about last year that he finished
top five. Yeah, last year, because it's fairly comparable. Top five in all four majors. You know, rough comparison to going to 4 Super Bowls in a row, but knocking on the door and never closing the deal. It'd be more apt if he finished second in each one, but you got the point. Right. So, anyway, Dave, who's your pick for the players?
Picking golf tournament winners is a real
I know it's threat. Tough.
Okay, Sergio Garcia is someone who's won here. He has played here reasonably well, pretty well almost every year. I think he's made more birdies here over the last 10 years than anybody else. And, again, he has the game. where he doesn't he's not terribly long, but he'll throttle back. He can hit, he can move the ball, he can fade it, he can draw it.